Have you ever described a job you had as a nightmare? Maybe it was a crazy demanding boss, a nutty coworker, or just insane everything. If you've ever had a workplace where you had to say, you can't make this shit up on a daily basis, we want to hear about it. Anonymously, of course, on our new podcast, Office Horror Stories. Each week, we'll play back your calls, read your stories, and discuss the craziest, most extreme, and intense workplaces of all time. But to do that, we need your stories. If you have a crazy workplace story in your past or maybe even present, tell us about it anonymously. Just call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. We don't want your name. We don't want the name of the workplace. We just want your story. So you can go ahead and let it all out anonymously. Call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 1-833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. That's officehorrorstories.com. Now you have an outlet to share the craziness that is or was your office. Then stay tuned as we launch the new podcast, Office Horror Stories, this fall. Tell us your story now at officehorrorstories.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, paranormal dreams turn into a paranormal reality for one woman. Also, did a college student experience a vivid hallucination or a haunting invasion?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is the phone number. Write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like this show, get all the bonus material, the bonus episodes, 260 some of those now available for you at ghostpodcast.com. Those have our best stories on them. Just awesome, awesome material. If you're into the paranormal, you will not regret that. It's all there for you. Brand new ones released every single week. And advanced episodes, you get those too. All commercial free at ghostpodcast.com. Or if you like Patreon, it's patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you once again. How are you today, Carol?
Something about the way you said that. Joining you once again.
Again.
Yes.
Again. Yes.
I'm back again. You can't get rid of me.
I didn't mean it like that.
Oh, Tony, how's it going?
It's been a day. It's been an interesting day. There's construction going on right outside my office, so there's been a lot of banging. And literally, people were banging outside my office. It was really kind of uncomfortable a few times. I was like, guys, this isn't appropriate for a construction site. So, anyway.
Tony, they can't do what they need to do without interrupting you some. I'm just saying.
No, I mean,
what happens when you get new flooring in your home.
No, they were banging, like, you know, like, wow, but wow, wow, banging. And it was really.
You had bow, chicky, bow, bow banging going on.
That's what I mean. It was like, this is inappropriate for a construction site. I'm fine with them putting flooring down. I'm not fine with them banging outside of my office. It was like. Now, I never did go out there to confirm what was going on, but I heard a lot of banging. And I assume when there's the sound of things banging, people are banging. So.
Well, then there's that. I really don't want to see.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't.
I just only hope they're putting flooring down.
I was hoping for flooring.
I just don't want to know.
A lot of, you know, sharp noises and grunting, and I assumed people were banging. But it could have been flooring. I'm not sure. So.
Really, as a service to other people, you mm-hmm. should look to see the type of banging that's going on because, you know, like Yelp, you could help other people from that bothersome banging.
You could. Like they started banging in my house.
Angie's List, those folks would probably like to know.
He ended up on some sort of list. I don't know what list that would be.
It's a public service announcement, really. Exactly.
It's a public service announcement. Yeah. So it's just been in my sleep tonight, I'll hear banging. So it just keeps getting worse and worse. So yeah, how's your day, Ben Carroll?
Nothing compared to yours, Tony. Yeah. I walked my dog. There you go.
Did your dog find anything to bang along the way?
He is so way too old.
Any basset hounds out there, or poodles or anything?
No, he's like, oh, I'd get hurt. You know, he's at that age where it would cause injury.
Like, I'm going to make some baby puppies along the way before I go out. And, you know,
if I only didn't have this darn torn ACL and bad hips.
Oh, we've managed to cover construction people and dogs having sex in the last 4 minutes. So
it's your fault.
There you go.
Got it all up.
Banging. All
I'm
right.
I'm talking about walking my dog. We literally walking my dog.
We got a banging show for you today, folks. Great ghost stories. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to call in your real ghost story to Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's jump over to our first story and get off this topic. It says, I'm sorry, but I must admit that I haven't tuned into the show for a long time, but I'm happy to be a listener again. So now that I'm back to listening to your podcast, I thought I'd share something I experienced, maybe find some answers. I'm still lost as to if I just had a bad dream or if I may have non-intentionally invited something in. I have sage and other things to protect myself, and since this dream, I haven't had any issues. So here is my story. Let me know what you think. First, we'll start off with something not so scary. Some things that happened have to do with the book I'm writing. I've been planning and writing this book for a couple of years, and the whole theme of this book is good versus evil. To make a long story short, the story is about people who are reincarnated in a way, but they come back like animals to protect the living in the spiritual world from demons and hellhounds. This is where things get funny. I have an antagonist who is the definition of evil. If you look him up in the dictionary, you probably see his crooked grin next to it. He is designed to look like an Abyssinian hound. Look it up if you haven't heard of him. His fur is pitch black, and he has wings made of a shadow-like energy. He can distort himself, twist himself, do all kinds of nasty things. His personality is no better considering he's a complete psychopath. So that's enough about him. Let's get to the story of why I think I may have created something or may have accidentally called something out just by writing his character. I remember getting ready for bed about a week ago, maybe further back than that, but I was writing this character's dialogue in the story, and he's one of those characters that just drains you. Took an hour away from writing just to settle down and read or watch some YouTube to bore myself to sleep. Once I was ready to flop my face into a pillow, I had a weird feeling as if someone or something was watching me closely, watching me get up, watching me walk to my bed, and watching me lay down. I wasn't sure why I felt so uneasy, but after I rolled on my side and wrapped myself in warm blankets, I was out like a light. The dream started with me walking down the alleyway behind my house. It was daylight at first, but things started to change within seconds, like the sun was flipping over to give the moon a turn to share the sky. This made me ask, who turned out the sun? Then I noticed the sky began to gather clouds like a hoarder frantically clinging to their belongings. It rumbled and shook the ground like an earthquake. I thought I was having a bad dream about tornadoes again. Yes, I have those. Don't judge. The weird thing is that as soon as this storm began, it stopped, but you could literally hear the clouds moving and twisting. They didn't have that signature blood red color that nighttime tornadoes bring. I noticed the street lamps were still on for the moment before they seemed to realize I just so happened to look at them, so they went out too. I could still hear the clouds moving above me, if you can imagine that, but they seemed to get closer. To the left of me, I saw a quick, bright purple light illuminate the alley from the corner of my eye. That's when shit turned from spooky to terrifying. At first, I didn't see him. The clouds had finally touched the ground. I could make out a giant, skinny canine face weaving in and out of sight. I heard a deep, cough-like, whimsical laugh, the type of laugh you hear people that make people run. This was unlike any dream or nightmare I'd ever had. I remember the clouds, and suddenly they were disappearing for a moment, as if they were revealing a bone-chilling, eerie silence. I could still see the alleyway with what little moonlight there was. I looked around to see if the coast was clear, but when I looked up, I saw that behemoth of a big son of a bitch sitting on top of a telephone pole, his eyes deadlocked on me, unmoving. He just sat there staring with his bright red-yellow eyes like I was prey or maybe a toy. Suddenly, he slowly began to move. He walked down the phone pole like he was mimicking a big, prowling cat just walking down the street. The thing that threw me off is that his head stayed positioned towards me. It looked painful. Once he reached the bottom of the pole, he kept his head faced at me, but his body seemed to catch up with his neck, and he sat down like he was waiting for a command. Knowing this puppy sure as hell didn't want any treats or to play fetch, I began to speak up, even if I was afraid to. That face was so unsettling. I asked him what he wanted and what did come, or what he came around for. His head tilted, much like a puppy's. Again, things got weirder. He tilted his head to the other direction, but this time he didn't stop. I began to feel sick to my stomach at this point. I heard his neck popping and cracking the more he turned it. He finally gave up breaking his neck for a moment to let out his weird, creepy, angry sigh before he got on his feet to get closer to me. I didn't realize how intimidating he was until he started getting closer. He towered over me. The entire time he got closer, he was making this strange laughing sound that I could only compare to, well, laughing, wheezing, and that sound you get when you try to talk through a box fan. Once he was in front of me, I just sat for a moment in awkward and unsettling silence. Then he exposed his jagged, rotten-looking teeth at me. Imagine shoving as many teeth as possible that you can shove in a dog's gums, but they're all sharp and yellow-black stained. Once that happened, I heard what sounded like 100 men frantically inhaling before this dog thing's eyes started glowing more than they had before. I remember feeling like I needed to run, but again, I was too afraid to run in case it provokes a chase. Suddenly, after all this insane buildup, this thing let out an ear-splitting scream that I'll never forget. I compare that scream literally to the screams of hundreds of terrified people before a gruesome death. I remember his face distorting and teeth falling out, his eyes turning pitch black, the scream fading into what sounded like loud static on TV. I remember I turned to run at one point, but right when I turned, I noticed a bright golden light had run past me, and the dog beast was gone. Whatever had run past me chased this thing off, and I was very happy about this. When I woke up, my husband said he had debated waking me up because I had been whining and seemed to be frightened that something was scaring me in my sleep. I could have punched him for making me deal with a crazy dream, but I digress. I do want to say, though, I do believe in the paranormal and do think that if you're not careful, sometimes you can unintentionally get the attention of unwanted guests. I've banished anything rotten from my house. Hopefully it was just a bad dream and nothing to worry about, but you can never be too cautious. So what do you think? She's writing a book on this kind of topic, or this is almost a character in the book. Is this an imagination running wild, or is this something that almost, you know, was kind of called upon and is then showing itself as to what it truly is or can be to have its story told a little bit further in their writing?
What I think is that when you're really, like, for me, it's scary movies. If I watch scary movies or read a scary book before bed, I will have the most terrifying dreams, mm-hmm. period. So I think when you write and you're so into that story, it consumes your head, because I write. And so it's like, that's what you think about and where your characters are and what they're doing and all that stuff. So then when you go to bed, I don't think it is inviting anything in. I just think that was all in your head, and it was kind of just a dream that, like, a terrifying dream, because, mm-hmm. you know, she wasn't writing, like, children's books, but, you know, a terrifying dream. But nonetheless, I think it's just residual from the writing.
Okay. So
that's what I think, because I have those kind of dreams that, like, if I watch a scary movie, my God, my dream, or like real bloody, gory movies, I can't watch because I will have the bloodiest, goriest dreams. Like anything I watch is nothing compared to what I will dream.
I have horrible nightmares after reading children's books. It's unbearable. I mean, especially things
when you think about it, it's like Little Red Riding Hood.
Caillou,
you know, there's a wolf dressed
Dora.
Up like a grandmother. Like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, I mean, anything. It's the anything that's like Dora the Explorer, that shit gets really scary. Caillou.
I don't even know what Caillou is, but it sounds like a horrible.
You don't want to know what Caillou is.
Type of thing.
It's some sort of Canadian children's cartoon book, and it's horrible. okay, I don't get nightmares from them, but there's a lot of bad children's products out there. So I have nightmares about that. Like, oh my God, my child's going to be brainwashed. No.
I just think when you are so, like, especially when you're writing and you are so into that story,
sure.
You can't write without being 100% in it. And it's kind of on your brain all day long.
Yeah.
And then when you go to bed, I don't think that necessarily you open yourself to anything paranormal. You just open your whole frickin' imagination. And then you see how dark you really are.
To all the possibilities. I mean, it can happen with something, you know, that's really positive, too. I mean, a good example would be, I remember being in high school, and I worked at three radio stations, two in my hometown, and then one up in Green Bay, which was about 70 miles away that I would drive to do weekend shifts and fill in. But the Green Bay one...
It's just so weird. Like, any other kid your age is, like, sneaking beer with his friends. You're like... I'm going to work at a radio station.
I'm on the air. I got to work. Yeah. I've been doing it since I was 14. So I skipped school, drove up there when I was 16 to get the job. And yeah. Anyway, so I remember doing like swing shift, like overnight swing shifts when I was like 16. And that would totally screw with your sleep schedule, especially if you're not normally doing that. But it was a positive thing for me. I was thrilled because I'm on the big top 40 station of that part of the state. And I was just excited and loved every moment of it. So it wasn't like a negative, scary thing. But oh my God, when I did try to go to sleep during the day, the only thing I could dream about was that I was in the studio and I couldn't get the CDs to play. Like the
dead
CDs,
air dreams.
Yeah, they would not queue up. And it was hell because you only had two CD players back then. We didn't have a third one. Nothing. There was no computer backups. Everything's on cart. And it was just like nothing worked. And you're stuck there and you can't get anything to go. And your mic is the only thing that's on and you have to fill time. And it's just fucking hell. But that would be the nightmare that I would have after that. But it's based on things that you get really intensely passionate about. So if you're intensely passionate about something creepy and scary and that's what you're into, your dreams are probably going to go that direction. If it's something positive or wonderful, it can still get pretty dark if that's the way your mind goes.
So. I mean, in any profession that you're in, I think radio, it's dead air dreams. Or when I used to wait tables, it would be I kept getting seated and I couldn't keep up with it, you know. And so I think we all have those dreams. But if you're a writer and you're writing something that's pretty dark and in a little, I don't want to say, you know, it's not twisted. I haven't read the book. But then your dreams are going to be like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially if you have stress about it.
Sure. So it could, you know, it could be something more, but I think that this one leans more to a very, very active mind. And there's nothing wrong with that. It happens. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next one says, my story begins a couple of years ago. I just moved into my new apartment and was beginning a new life as a returning college student working part-time as a bookkeeper for a grocery store. 2 months pass. My life has pretty much settled into its new routine. One day after pulling another all-nighter for an exam, I hop into bed shortly before the sun rises, anxious to catch up in my sleep before the start of my first class, which for this day wasn't until 1 in the afternoon. It wasn't long before I started to feel myself drifting off when from out of nowhere I spotted an orange ginger-colored cat sulking around my legs at the foot of my bed. When I tried to move to get a better look at it, though, I found myself paralyzed to the point I was lying on my side, facing my room directly across from my closet with my right arm tucked under my pillow. From the corners of my eyes, I could still see the cat. It was small, about the size of a six-month-old kitten might be, but I could never see its face. I would always walk out of my line of vision or turn its head just enough so that I could never get a good look at it. For whatever reason, I kept trying to get under my covers, but there was something about this cat that didn't feel right. I didn't think it was there to hurt me, but I felt like it was malicious and dangerous somehow, and I didn't want to have anything to do with it. So I struggled against it. I fought hard, but it was difficult because it felt like something was holding me down from the inside out. The best I could do was to move in short, jerky movements. I tried to yell, too, but it was no good, nothing better than weak moans. Despite this, however, I managed to keep the cat out for a short period until it finally managed to find an opening that I could move quickly enough to block off. Watching it sliding under my covers made me panic, and that gave me just enough strength to free my arm from under my pillow. But just as I did, I felt something grab my wrist and push my arm back down just over my head. As the cat disappeared under my blanket, I felt an urge to look towards my closet, and there I saw a jet black smoke pouring out from under the cracks. I panicked again, only this time I became very angry, and I pushed against whatever was holding me down. I don't know if it was for my own power or if it was just that the thing gave in, but I was freed, and the first thing I did was barrel towards the closet door because in the heat of the moment I wanted to face whatever was there despite being so scared. I was just so enraged. When I reached my closet and attempted to open the door, it wouldn't budge, and then this horrible, mocking laughter filled my head. It was enough to make me dizzy, and I had to take a few steps back until I reached my bed again. I sat down to help regain my equilibrium, but then, as I looked up to resurvey my situation, I saw this dark spot forming in the upper right-hand corner of my room. It spread quickly like ink in water, and before I can do anything about it, I blacked out. When I came to again, I was back in bed. The first thing I did was to look for that damn cat, but it wasn't there. Neither could I find any evidence that it had ever been there. And when I looked through my closet, everything appeared normal. By this time, it was a little past 8 a.m. and nothing seemed unusual. I got back into bed and sat there for a very long time, trying to determine if what had just happened had only been a very lucid nightmare. It was strange, as I'd never had an experience like that before and never a dream so real. After a while, with nothing else going on, I attempted to shrug the experience off as a dream, but I was still shaken and found it hard to relax. I tried to force myself to go back to sleep because I had a long day planned later, but I just lay there staring up at my ceiling for a while and just kind of afraid to close my eyes. About 5 minutes pass, I'm finally beginning to calm down, and then from the corner of my eye, I see an orange ginger cat walking by the side of my bed. Before I can react to it, I feel its tail hit me right under the chin. I leaped up from my bed into full standing position, but the cat was nowhere to be found. To this day, I still question whether my experience had been real or just a very vivid hallucination, but the feeling of that cat's tail on my skin remains a very constant reminder of that moment in my life. Since then, I've never had a similar experience. Note, I don't do drugs, not now or ever. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't meditate. I wasn't sick in the morning in question. I don't know what it was. What do you think? We're kind of on a dream theme here today, it seems.
Right?
Yeah, that's
well,
how it works.
To me, like, if nothing like that has ever happened to you before, and it's not like, you know, anything in the house, everything's normal about your home, and it's never happened since or before then,
mm-hmm.
that would lend me to think it was a dream. But the one thing that I never get, this is why I also think it's a dream. Like, for real, if you saw this black smoke coming out of your closet and a weird cat walking around your house when you don't have a cat, I'd be running out the door. I wouldn't be going, I'm going to go face it. There's no way. Yeah. And then sit back down on your bed and no, I think if something like that really happened, now I'm a wuss, I'd be running out the damn door. I wouldn't be like, I'm going to face it. That's why actually I think it was a dream.
I think sometimes in those situations when you have such a lucid dream and such a lucid, scary dream,
If you are to lay back down for a moment, which they did, to just kind of gather themselves, and if you start to doze again, it's very easy to fall back into whatever very traumatic thing your mind was going through. Your mind, I think, is more so than any other dream, it's easy to fall back into that. Those are the times where if I'm waking up from a shocking dream of some sort, and I'm just kind of shaken awake, and I sit up or whatever, maybe I get up, use the bathroom, come back to bed, my mind's still kind of stuck there. Those are the type of dreams where when I just kind of start to doze off, I'm jolted awake sometimes by maybe thinking I'm hearing a loud bang or a noise or yeah. something in the house. It's not there, but it's still like part of my mind, I think, is still running the course of that dream and hasn't really completely gotten out of that mode yet. And I think
I've like tried to wake myself up and really thought I was awake mm-hmm. and then fallen back to sleep. And it keeps happening, the same dream over yeah. and over. They're like, I had one years ago. I was probably 19 or 20 and I was living out on my own. There might have been drugs or alcohol involved. I don't know. But so
I'm glad you're clarifying that immediately. So,
well, because everybody's always like, you know, no, I don't do drugs or anything. I'll just preface this.
You were doing drugs and alcohol.
Right. So, but I had this really intense dream where there was this like very large cat that attacked me in my dream. And it was horrifying. Like I was being attacked. Mm-hmm. And I woke up and I did have scratches on my back. I really did.
Really?
But I don't think it was. I think I was probably like reaching around trying to get it off of me in my dream. And I probably scratched myself.
Okay.
I don't really think I got attacked because I've never had that happen before or since. But mm-hmm. it was very, very real. But I probably, you know, wasn't sleeping calmly when I was having that dream.
Sure.
So I've always thought it did freak me out, but I've always thought that I probably did it to myself.
It's one of those things that I kind of wonder about, and it's something I've never really researched, so I don't have any evidence to what I'm suggesting here. But is it ever possible that our minds, there can be phantom pains where there really is nothing physically wrong with us, like in a certain area, there's no nerve damage, there's nothing, but suddenly there's a pain in a certain area that our mind is telling us is there, especially if you're in a dream or something and you get shot or there's something horrible. Your mind is telling you that there's an area of your body that is in pain. It should be in pain, even though really there's no reason why it would be. Can our bodies ever, when that occurs, is it ever a possibility can get so intense that it, in fact, can become inflamed? It, in fact, can become what may look like scratches if that power of suggestion is that strong and our body is believing that it needs to recover itself in that area, although there really was no true infliction of injury.
I don't know. That's pretty deep. I've never thought of that before.
Well,
but it kind of makes some sense.
It does. I mean, it's a power of suggestion. And if your mind and your brain in your dream is telling you, you just got injured right there, you know, can those parts of your brain also then be going, oh, shit, you know, yeah, you got a big scratch or you got cut right there. Because you're believing this in your dream. And then is it sending, you know, what it needs to send to those areas for healing, which in turn may end up, you know, inflaming an area? I don't know. Maybe it's a completely insane question, but I don't know.
I don't either.
Something to think about. I just know that.
I think it's interesting that person saw a cat. Like, what would be so terrifying? I would be like, what? There's a cat in my room.
Yeah.
You get over here. You know, so it makes me think it wasn't just a cat. It must have been more of a terrifying thing.
Yeah.
Because I'd be like, how'd you get in my house, you little kitty?
Then it turns head and it has, you know, glowing eyes and it's all right. Of its
and
teeth.
Then I'm like,
oh,
crap. Thing. It's demonic.
It's a Satan cat again. Damn it. Not again. And then like the corny
so cute.
Corny music from Full House then plays and it's like da 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 da. Yeah, then it goes to like Uncle Jesse is out back with Comet. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
I just wanted to say that I just started recently listening to the podcast and I love it. And I just wanted to share one of my stories. It happened probably about 5-6 years ago. I was sitting at home in High Level, Alberta, and I seen out of the corner of my eye a shadow walk from one side of the room, of our living room, to our kitchen. I didn't think anything of it, so I just turned the TV up, kept watching TV. A few minutes after that, I heard something slam into, like, the fridge or the stove or something. It sounded like a big bang. I went into the room, and all of my cupboards were open along the bottom. I shut them up and walked back into the living room. That day went by, nothing else happened. A couple days later, me and my fiance at the time were laying in bed, and she said she seen somebody walk into the room, but there was nobody in there. So again, didn't think anything of it. We just kind of played it off like she just saw something. And that night when we were going to sleep, I seen the same thing. A tall, dark shadow, probably about 6 feet tall, come into the bedroom. He was wearing a black coat with a white shirt underneath, what looked like dark brown hat of some sort. I got up, I turned the light on, we searched the whole room, never seen anything. So we laid back down, and as I was going to sleep, I felt a sharp pressure, like right in the middle of my chest. Like it was hard to breathe, and it felt like somebody was sitting on me at the time. So I kept moving around, trying to get comfortable. I couldn't. Eventually, I fell asleep. What seemed like probably 5-6 hours of sleep was really only about 15 minutes, and I woke up to a lady's face hovering right above mine. Probably within 5 inches of my face, I seen a woman's face. I couldn't see no body. I was completely paralyzed. I couldn't move. I couldn't talk. All I could do was stare straight into her eyes. It was the most terrifying, scary feeling that I have ever felt in my life. Seeing her right there, knowing I couldn't move, I couldn't do nothing. I tried my best to scream. I tried my best to grab my fiance's arm to get her to look, but it just seemed like I couldn't move. Finally, after what felt like 5 minutes, I broke free and I just screamed. It just all came out at once, one big loud scream, and I woke up the whole house. Everybody came running to the room asking what the hell was going on. I told them the story, and all of them got goosebumps. None of them could believe what happened. It's happened to me twice since then. And we've moved out of that house since then. Probably a year or two after we moved out of that house and moved to another one. In our new house, we've started hearing stuff, seeing stuff, and feeling stuff. My one daughter, who was probably about 3 years old at the time, was sleeping down in her bedroom. It was probably about 10:30 at night, and we were upstairs watching TV. The kids were downstairs sleeping in the bedroom, and I heard her scream, a scream I've never heard out of her before, like somebody was about to murder her. I dropped everything, ran downstairs as fast as I possibly could. I turned the light on, and she was curled up in the corner of her bed, hugging her pillow and crying. I sat down beside her. I asked her what was wrong. She looked at me and said the man scared her. I asked her what man was she talking about. She pointed towards the door, which was kind of adjacent from our bathroom, and we had the light on. She said, there's a man standing at our door. I said, what, baby? What did you say? She said, Daddy, there's a man at our door. I looked over. I said, no, baby, there's nobody there. Just go back to sleep. So I laid her down. I laid with her for a bit, gave her a kiss, and she fell back asleep. As soon as I turned the light off and started walking down the hallway, she jumped up again and screamed. She said, "The man, the man, the man." I ran back to the bedroom. I flipped the light on. And as I flipped the light on, I seen the sheet on the opposite bed in the room drop, like somebody was lifting them. I got her out of that room so fast, I laid her in my bedroom. We both laid down, and as we were falling asleep, she said, "He has a knife." I said, "Excuse me?" She said, "He has a knife, help." I didn't know what to do. We packed up our stuff that night and went to a hotel. We ended up going back to that house, and she hasn't seen the man since, but we've heard footsteps coming up and down the stairs. We've had some very peculiar dreams, like once in the middle of the night when my parents were staying there, I heard my dad, mid-sleep, two hearts fell at the bottom of the stairs. I didn't know what to think, so I just kind of followed up on it. I'm kind of into the paranormal stuff, and I like it, so I went and grabbed my camera. I started snapping pictures of the bottom of the stairs. I snapped one picture. I looked. There was two orbs. There's two orbs in the camera. So I thought, holy shit. I took another picture. They were gone. I went to the bottom of the stairs and started taking pictures up the stairs. Sure enough, there was the two orbs. Took another picture. Sure enough, they were up a little bit higher on the stairs. It seemed like they were walking up the stairs, two orbs side by side. They disappeared around the corner. I ran up the stairs and started taking pictures up the other set of stairs to the top where the living room and kitchen were. And as I was snapping pictures, I seen the orbs again going up the stairs, up the stairs. As soon as they hit the top of the stairs, both orbs disappeared. They were nowhere to be found. About 2 weeks later, we were sitting in the living room watching TV. Remote was sitting up on the end table beside us. I was sitting on the couch. My daughter was laying up against me cuddling. And the TV just started flicking through channels. And it wasn't like it was searching through channels where it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. No, it was going 243, 254, 322, 1048, like jumping between channels. The remote was sitting beside us. Nobody.
And that's where his ghost story cuts out.
Yeah. No.
But I thought it was good enough to run the 8 minutes that he did call in, because it was good.
My mind's like, oh no.
Yeah.
Like, he's in the middle of this really scary story and he just disappears.
Yeah.
I hope he's okay.
It's interesting because there was a good example. There was a lot of good examples in there of not only of scary dreams, but how there was examples of how the dreams then translated into factual reality of physical things happening around them that go beyond just the dream to show maybe there is something beyond just the dreams happening.
Well, and then when you have your kids terrified like that, like, I don't know, I'm not a parent, but that would just piss me off. It's like, mess with me. Do not mess with my kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't be bullying a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what kind of ghost does that?
Assholes.
You know? That would just make me so angry.
That what you do as a parent, though, is from a very young age, so the kids don't freak out and think, oh my God, my house is haunted. You just instill in them from birth, the house is haunted as shit. There's always going to be weird things visiting you in the middle of the night. It's completely normal. Don't wake mommy and daddy up. And you'll be just fine. And you just tell them the man with the big sharp teeth and the glowing red eyes that comes in and says hi at night, that's fine. It's completely normal. If you wake up and there's a big 666 on your chalkboard, fine. Completely normal. Maybe do some math. Add it up. See what
you're
it totals. You just say these things as matter of fact, like it's completely okay. Don't, if your hands are hanging off the sides of the bed, yes. You have a good chance you may wake up in the morning without a finger. So just keep them, in the bed. No big deal.
Someone will tug on your foot.
Problem
if it's outside
solved.
Of this sheet. Exactly. If it's inside the sheet, no one will touch it.
Unexplained tapping and scratching on the walls, growling outside. Yeah, it could be just nature. It could be a raccoon, or it could be demonic entities trying to come in and steal your soul. No big deal.
I'm just telling you, this explains a lot about your child. It really does.
Just deal with it. It's okay. It's not a big deal. Watch some Caillou on Netflix, and you'll be just fine.
Whatever the hell that thing is you keep referring to.
I think I take the demons over Caillou.
Like, I just, you know, that sort of situation, like, it almost, because, like, they've moved and not even in the same home.
Yeah.
Which, it's like, damn, you got to be here too? In my new house?
When it's following, it's not just the location.
Isn't the weird thing with the TV?
Yeah.
Like, now I'm concerned about that person because then nothing. What?
I don't know.
Where does the story go?
You know what? I'm guessing.
Is that person even real? Or was that person a ghost and called us? I don't know.
I'm hoping that they're hearing this and they now realize that their phone cut out at that point, because sometimes they don't realize till after the fact.
Yeah, and I would love to know.
Yeah, so please do
that story.
Please do call back and pick that up where you left it off and let us know.
Just remember, channels were changing like 352, 254, yep. Nothing.
And then what?
Yeah, and then what? That's what I want to know. Like, is your kid okay?
We'll find out.
Just traumatized? What? Well, and did you ever see that creepy face hovering in front of you when you were sleeping again?
After the channels changed and the creepy faces were seen in the house, did the family survive? We'll find out when Dateline returns.
Yeah. We sure hope so, Keith.
We'll find out very soon. So thank you for that story. We do appreciate it. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. That's going to wrap up the program for today. If you like the show, become an extra podcast person, an EPP at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all the bonus material, advanced episodes, commercial-free, and more. Until next time, for Carol Hughes, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.